All right, it's good to be with you. Thanks for coming out midweek service. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always something fun about it. And to a note to being a gabber, I didn't know much of my family on that side too much. I always asked, are you related to so-and-so? Their last name was Gabbert. I only knew 8 or 9 Gabberts. That was my family. That was about it. I knew there were some more out there, but we do like to have fun now. Sometimes we get on jobs, we work construction, and have most of my life. We like to have fun on the job. And so we always try to have a good time wherever we're at, and always try to uplift the Lord if the opportunity presents itself in a professional manner. So yeah, we always like to have a good time. Not ashamed to be, I guess, a gabber, but more importantly, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian and to be saved. I'm thankful for that. It means a lot to me, especially the older I get, the more you begin to lay eyes on the news and the world and the way it's headed. You're thankful that you're a Christian and where you're headed when you pass from this life to the next life, you're headed home. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And I keep telling myself to say that very slowly and carefully because I'll get tongue-tied. It doesn't take much for me to get tongue-tied. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 1, and tonight we had quite an exciting day. Some days are like that. Wednesdays, being off of my construction work, we're working with the school. When those days are off, working here at the school, we had a couple meetings today, one with the landscaper, looking at putting the landscaping. It eventually will go in, and some people ask, where's that at? Well, we're wrestled with planning and zoning and finally have them settled on one set of plans. And so we think, hey, we think we have this. Now we need to get some pricing and get set up for this spring. So it's going to happen. It will happen. And then the parking lot, looking at that. So we've had a couple meetings that way. I think at one time today we had this piano and quite a few pieces up here. It needs some work. And so I think we have a tech coming next Monday to look at that. But we had an exciting day today. So here we are in church, and thanks for coming out, like I said, and then here for a few moments. I know we're all looking at the White Death here for this weekend. Snow's moving in. I watch, you know, they always pump it up, and then we get about a half inch. You're like, what happened? Now I've got to go to church. No, no. You should be going to church. But if you found your place, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to look at verse 1 here, and we're going to pull a phrase, look at a phrase. And we're going to preach a little bit on this phrase and look at some other verses that go with this phrase. Now, notice with me in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And the little phrase that we're looking at is, and to please God. He says there, how you've received us and how you ought to walk speaks of their daily conversation or how they live their lives. Not necessarily what they're saying, but how they conduct themselves in the world that they were in at that time and how we do it today. But he says here, how you ought to walk and to please God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and we ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, be with this message, be with these fine folks that have come out. Suit a blessing to their hearts. Father, we've been maybe thinking about our problems and our situations, our decisions that we're faced with, whatever that may be, maybe a storm we're in, maybe something that's happened or going to happen, and Father, we continue to think about that throughout the day. Father, we pray that we lay that aside. Just let it lay aside. It's had enough of our thoughts and our time. And let us rest in your word tonight. Suit a blessing to the hearts and the minds of us tonight. Be with our prayer petition that we've put up before you. We know you answer prayer. And Father, that's Father, the reason why we bring it before you, as you've said from your scripture. Now be with this message. Be with these few moments just tonight. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here, I want to preach on, are you pleasing God? Simply put in the present state, are you pleasing God? And here, let me, by way of introduction, pleasing God is a Christian duty. It's something that God has equipped you and I with as being Christians. He has given us His Word. He's given us verses. He's given us the weapons to combat this life and the world that we live against, the flesh that we combat, and then our adversary, our old adversary, Satan. And so it's a Christian duty to please God. You find that here right in this verse. He simply says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren. So he's speaking in the context of saved brothers and sisters here of this church, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So there's something to pleasing God. And so the question put for tonight, just for a few moments, are you pleasing God? It doesn't matter really who you are. It doesn't matter what status you have. It really doesn't matter what church you're in. But the question is put upon us, are you pleasing God? See, well, I'm only 10 years old. You can still answer the question, are you pleasing God? The Bible says that children should obey their parents in the Lord. So to please God, you would want to obey your parents. You say, well, I'm 15 or 16 year old, and I know quite a bit more than my parents. So, well, the question is, are you pleasing God? That's a good question, and good luck with all that you know. It will dissipate when you get on your own and you pay your own bills. You can move up in your 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s, and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, maybe 90s. And the question still put to you, are you pleasing God? Right now, not have you pleased God? A lot of times you get around Christians, and it's sad when you start to hear the past tense in what they talk about. They talk about the things that they had done, things they had seen, places they have seen God move, prayers they had that they had been around when God answered. But it's always a joy to talk to a Christian that talks in the present, that God is doing, what He is doing, what He is going to do. So tonight the question is presently, are you pleasing God? And a Christian's duty, it's not only a Christian's duty, but you'll notice tonight we're going to aim at, it's an aim for a minister. Yeah, right there, 2 Thessalonians, drop back to the second chapter. Notice with me in verse number 4. Notice this now. We'll find this throughout Scripture, but we're just going to look at a few tonight for our time's sake. We're in 1 Thessalonians. Look at the second chapter in verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God, this is still the same context. He's speaking of the ministers that come to this church, and he's reiterating or re-establishing what took place at the beginning. And so these are the ministers that come before him. And he says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, the ministers that come in, just like we are, we're given a responsibility to the gospel, putting out the gospel. And here, this is what Paul's speaking of here. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So we're going to say that the aim of a minister is to please God and not please men. It's so easy to get caught in the trap of attempting to please men, because we all want to be pleasing. You know how a man is, and you hear about men, you read about men in general. I'm talking to men, not women, but men, they don't like to be turned down or rejected. You know how it goes. You want to be pleasing to people. I don't like to know that somebody doesn't like me, but there's people I'm sure that don't, and you got to get over that. And one of the reasons when you step in the pulpit, I know to what was told me is, look, when you're behind the pulpit, you don't have any friends. And it needs to be established that way, because when you begin to pick somebody out or try to please somebody, you're going to find you're going to get yourself in trouble. Number one, principle number one, you can't please everybody all at the same time. It isn't going to happen. Somebody's going to find something. And so you go about to establish in the business of pleasing your God. So we said here in verse 4, he says, look, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And we look back, if you look at Hebrews, through doing good, I won't go over there just right now, but in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, it speaks of doing good. This pleases God. This is a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, let's run over there. I'm gonna need this later on, so let's run over there. Hebrews chapter 13, the latter part of Hebrews. Notice with me in verse number 16 of chapter 13, verse 16 now, Hebrews chapter 13, and it says, but to do good and to communicate Forget not. The communicate there in the context is going to be giving something. It's not verbal. A lot of times we'll see words like this, but the context is going to be in giving something. Communicate is giving something. And he says, forget it not, forget not. And he reads on, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And listen, so in doing good, God, this pleases God. And the right heart in the right context. There's an example in the Old Testament. For the sake of time, let me just touch briefly on the high parts of Enoch. Enoch of old was an example that he walked with God and it pleased God. And so you find that also in Hebrews. But let's get into this. So those who are not pleasing to God. I believe we need to look at this first of all before we look at those who are pleasing to God. So those who are not pleasing to God. They that live only for themselves are not pleasing to God. Romans, take your Bibles and turn to Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Notice with me in verses 1 through 3. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached, they fell on me. Notice here the principle is laid out. They that only live their lives for themselves are not pleasing to God. We go through this life, and it's very easy, by the way of the world, looking at the world and what it can generate for the enticement, it's easy to get into the realm of pleasing self. And not only pleasing men, but pleasing self, pleasing ourselves with things. A lot of times, self will get in the priority list of our Christian priority list, and our self becomes higher than the priority of God or the things of God or the things that God has ordained. And you say, what happens? Well, you're definitely not pleasing to God in that state. And the Bible warns us against pleasing ourselves. But that's not the only thing. We're in Romans. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Back up there a couple chapters. Romans chapter 8. We're going to notice something else that is not pleasing. Another type of individual or state that a Christian can also can find themselves in. Here, this is Christian context speaking here, saved people. Romans chapter 8. Notice with me in verses 8 and 9. And we're looking at someone who has resurrected their flesh. Pastor spoke of this Sunday morning about once you are saved. Listen, in Romans chapter 6, it speaks of when you're saved, Christ crucifies your body. Your body's to be reckoned dead. It's crucified with Christ. Now, from time to time, we as Christians resurrect that, and it's operating in the power of the flesh. It should be dead, because we should, once the flesh is dead, the Spirit, we should be alive unto the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And he begins to describe our instruments as either yielding instruments to unrighteousness, which is the flesh, or instruments to righteousness, which is the Spirit of God, the spiritual man, the inward man. Here in chapter 8, he's dealing with the same thing. It's speaking of those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Notice with me in these verses 8 and 9, chapter 8 of Romans. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, that is if you're saved, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It's going to be quite a struggle for someone that does not have the power of the Holy Spirit to reckon the flesh dead. It's impossible. It's impossible. So those that are in the flesh, and I'm speaking in the context of saved, as these verses indicate, you cannot please God. And the flesh is very powerful. Matter of fact, you go to 1 John and you look at the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is one of your enemies. And I like what Pastor says here. When you look in the mirror, my biggest enemy is, no, not my wife. No, not the people who hate me that we've already talked about. It is myself. It's the person that I see in the mirror that I have to deal with. It's the person that you have to give an account for, which is yourself before God. And those that are in the flesh, that means minds the things of the flesh. Listen, it's pretty easy to put. Those that are minded the things of God are not in the flesh. You're not going to walk in the flesh and mind the things of God. I know we try to do a good job of it, but we fail miserably, especially before God. God knows our hearts, and we're simply stating with Scripture that in the flesh you cannot please God. You cannot please God. All right, let's move to Galatians, while we're on the roll here. Galatians chapter 1, notice with me another set here. Galatians chapter 1, I believe. Galatians chapter 1. Now, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but let's develop it a little bit farther with this verse. Galatians chapter 1, notice with me in verse 10. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Listen, he's dealing with the struggle that sometimes you will deal with. Either you're going to please God with the things that God has asked you to do. And he says it's not unreasonable. It's a reasonable service that he's asked us to do as Christians. He says to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. You say, man, that's hard to do. Well, like the verse told us before, it's hard for somebody who does not have the Spirit of God living in them. It is hard. And if you're a Christian and you do have the Spirit of God, but you keep feeding the flesh, you keep undermining the Spirit and going with the flesh, it is going to be hard. That's why the Scripture states that the way of a transgressor is hard. If you're kicking against the pricks, if you're going against what God has already established and laid out, it's going to be hard. Especially if you're saved and wanting to walk sideways, and God says, just walk simply straight, it'll be easier. But here, the struggle is to either please men or to please God. He says, look, if you begin to please men, if you do please men, then you cease to become or have or stay the servant of Christ. So they that only seek to please men are not pleasing to God. And I know it's easier said than done. There seems to be always a game or a political side of things, even with relationships of any sort, whether it's a primary relationship or a secondary relationship in your life. There seems to be a political side to it. Yeah, you agree with that person, and then behind their back you agree with that person, just to keep both of them from hating you, you know, or not disliking you, or talking about you. Listen, you get into that, you won't know which one you said yes to. Just please God, please God. And the man thing and the men thing will take care of itself. So we find here, lastly, those who are not pleasing to God, not only is it those that only live for themselves, those that operate in the flesh, those that seek only to please men and not God, but you have one here, they that have no faith. Those that do not have any faith cannot please God. The Bible says, we were in Hebrews, let's go back over there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Notice with me here what he says here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith plays a major role in you and me pleasing God. I've used this illustration before to the teens, and somebody just brought it up to me the other day, and I remember about faith. Sometimes people, what's the difference between a heart and a head faith? I think we were dealing with this at RU the other night, Friday night, and we used the illustration. We talked about the illustration of the man, and I might even mention it here, apologize for repeating, but the man that walked the tightrope across the falls with his wheelbarrow, and he had jest with the people before he got started, and he had asked them whether they thought that he could actually walk across on the rope, a tight walk rope, or all the way across with a wheelbarrow. And they said, sure, you got anything in it? He said, no, I just want to get across the other side without falling. You think I can do it? Yeah, we think you can. Some say, there ain't no way. Well, he does it. He gets across and comes back. And he says, you think I can do it the second time? they're all, you know, looking at him, laughing, say, well, yeah, you can do it a second time. And he asked the one guy specifically, he said, do you think I can do it a second time? He says, yeah, you did it the first time. He said, good, get in. And so that's the difference between a head and a heart belief. Your head believes, yeah, I think you can do it. But then when you put it in practice, it's another matter. It's another matter all complete. But those that do not have faith cannot please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 states this, for without faith it's impossible to please God. You know, it takes faith, a faith that's been, according to Titus, measured out to every man by God. It takes faith to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes some faith. You say, well, can you explain the whole Bible? Can anybody? Nobody can explain the whole Bible. It will always be left to an element of faith that you're going to have to put in it to trust and to believe. That's faith. That's what it takes. And if you don't have any, or if there isn't any, God's not involved. So it says, so we've looked at those that are not pleasing to God. And the question still is on the table, are you pleasing God? Let's look at those who are pleasing to God. Those that are pleasing to God. Those who ask right things from God. Remember, the Bible speaks of praying to God, and when we come before God, we've done that tonight a couple of times already. Praying for those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost little ones. Miss Carla, and I'm to think, did I understand you right, Miss Carla, that second twin has passed? So both of them are gone to be with the Lord. And so you think of that home, you think of that family and that loss. You don't get over that. You don't ever get over that. And the question arises, why, how? God answers those questions and will in His time. But the grieving process that you go through, you think, why? And you ask these questions to God. You ask God to heal somebody. You ask God to raise somebody up. You ask God for help for this so-and-so. And so we have our prayer petition because the Bible tells us so. He said, well, prayer and supplication, making intercession for one another. And so this is what we do. But sometimes, and even Scripture states that you can ask amiss. You know, if you're in the flesh and you're wanting fleshly things, a lot of times if you're still in a prayer or you have a prayer type of a fleshly life going on, you still pray to God, you know, over your meal real quick. But you ask something that might not be in Christ's will or God's will. That would be asking amiss. Here we're speaking of, and it reminded of Solomon. Remember what Solomon prayed to God. Solomon asked for understanding. He asked for an understanding heart to discern between good and bad. And the speech pleased the Lord. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. So the first thing we see is people who ask the right things please God. And so your prayer life and asking God, are we asking the right thing? Sometimes we ask it in a jest or a roundabout way to work it to our best self-benefit. And so asking the right thing is pleasing to God. Secondly, those who are separated for God. The Bible speaks of this. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy. Notice how he words this, and it's important. And how it's worded, of course, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice with me the verse number 4. And we're looking at those who are separated for God. You mean separated? How? Well, you're not going to be a friend of the world and the world system and be a friend of God. It doesn't work like that. And God says this. Notice with me verse 4. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Yes, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, you are a soldier for God. Say, well, I'm not a very good one. Well, that's between you and God. Will you deal with that? But here we're bringing up the part that those that are separated for God are pleasing to God. So the question is, are you pleasing God? You say, well, I don't know. Well, you can get a little bit further. Let's look at another part here. Hebrews chapter 13, right back where we've been. We've been hitting Hebrews pretty hard. Go back to the 13th chapter, and we'll look at another section here in chapter 13. Those who are wholly yielded to God. Those who are wholly yielded to God. You know, you could yield to God a little bit, a halfway or a quarter way or a third way, however you want to divide it. Those who are wholly yielded to God. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verses 20 and 21. And he says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." I think of Romans chapter 8, about verse 28, verse 29, where he says he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. You know, you're a working progress. Wholly yielded to God. Those are pleasing to God. Fourthly, those who walk with God. We spoke of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and it pleased God. We're right there in Hebrews. Look at chapter 11. We mentioned this earlier, but notice with me in the hall, this chapter of faith. We call it the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, notice with me verse number 5. "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him." By the way, I like that word because that's what's going to happen to us one day when God calls us home. I know some of us liken it to the rapture, but here the word translated, that's what is going to take place. And Enoch here, he experienced this. He said here, the rest of the verse, "For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God." You see, why? Because he walked with God. Are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing God? Those who walk with God, as Enoch did, please God. They're pleasing to God. Let me say, lastly, those who praise God. Psalm 69, let's move over there. Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69, notice with me in verse 30, he says, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves." Notice here that he pleased God with a song, and this was pleasing to God. You know, I would stop here, but I begin to think about that, and I wanted to develop that just a little bit more. You know, the easiest way to praise God, those that praise God are pleasing to God. But you know the easiest way to praise God? I believe is with our mouth. That's the easiest one. Let me ask you, let me move a little bit further with this. So we can get up and we can say, "I thank God that he saved my soul. I thank God that I was born in America. I could have been born in many different other countries, but I was born here." Okay, my parents are here tonight. Thank God for my parents. You can go on. Thank God for my wife, my family, beautiful family. Live close to the church. Beautiful church. Wonderful pastor. Great pastor. Wonderful brothers and sisters. I can go on and on. It's easy to say it with my mouth. Watch this. Do I praise God in my giving? See, in Psalms, he praised God with a song. Not just with words, but with a song. And that was well-pleasing. Do you praise God in your giving? Do you praise God in your service? So no, I just sat here in a pew. I show up. That's not service. You're attending a worship service, but that's not service. Are you able to praise God in your service? Do you praise God in your daily walk for Him? That means working and interacting with people you're around to be a light or to be salt, which is appetizing. It's flavoring for that world to want to take a bite of Christ. You're the only Bible someone will ever read or see by how you conduct yourself. Do you praise God in your love and study of this Bible? This is probably the most some of you has ever turned in your Bible this week. But praising God, it's pleasing to God if you're praising to God, but not just in word, not just in word. Can you praise God in your obedience and submission to God's word? See, there's more than one way to praise God. And there's more than one way to please God. But here, we think this is easy. We can praise God, but there's a whole lot of the ways that God likes us to be pleasing to Him. And so the question still to every one of us, are you pleasing God? Let's all stand tonight. I told you I wouldn't be long. We're early. We have a men's meeting tonight, I still believe, still on. But we have a new year upon us. We're in 2019. I never thought I'd ever see 2019 or ever write it on a check, but it's here, and I already have. And that question still goes through. We can always be more pleasing to God. God wants us to be more pleasing in this new year. I know He does for me, so I've got work ahead of me. Just for my Savior, not for anybody else, but for God, because He loved me, because He gave Himself for me, and He saved me with His precious blood, each and every one of us here in the whole world, if they would but believe and accept. So are you pleasing God? You know what? One more thing that is pleasing to God. It says there's joy in the presence of the angel of one sinner that repenteth. You know what's most pleasing to God is when a sinner yields and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the question really is, are you pleasing God? God wants to save you tonight if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior. Tonight is your night. Nobody else's. It's your night. Pastor.